This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, all of our great ESPN stations across the country, Sirius XM80, ESPN app. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and Draymond Green is suspended 5 games for the... What day is this? What year is this? Yeah. We could have said this at any point, it feels like. Suspended 5 games off of the incident a couple of nights ago with Rudy Gobert and the Minnesota Timberwolves. We got Thursday Night Football tonight between the Bengals and the Ravens. We got news out of the quarterback position in Cleveland. Good morning, everybody. How you doing today?
Yeah, don't bury the lead, though.
Not CC.
The unsportsmanlike ESPN bet of the night. We won the bet last night. A little maction going on. We're 2 for 2, but did you see the way we won it, though? I mean, listen, the Bulls catch a pass, and then this kid, Mike Dowdell, from the Miami of Ohio Redhawks, comes in and swats the ball down as the receiver's going into the end zone. The other Buffalo player tries to recover it in the end zone, but he's got his knee on the out-of-bounds line, ends up being a touchback. We take several knees. Game is over. But here's the thing. The over-under was 39.5, part of our three-leg parlay.
Yeah.
If they scored that touchdown and kicked the extra point, it's 40 points for the point total of the game.
Ooh.
So we won by the skin of our teeth. But it doesn't matter how you win, as long as you get that dub. You know what I'm saying?
I think winning the way we did is almost more exciting. Bring it down to the wire.
Exactly, kind of sexy, though, right?
The action a little interesting.
I will say this: when you have some coin on the game, it completely changes. No, not even hypothetically.
Okay.
It's ESPN bet. I mean, it's a part of the company line now. Yeah. I mean, listen, when you have a little bit of coin on the game, be surprised how it makes a midweek Mac game that much more interesting.
All right, so then let me ask a follow up on this.
What's up?
Every week, Joe Fortenbaugh joins us, Carlin versus Joe, noon until 3 Eastern time on Fridays, and he gives this wink-wink game. A game that, let's be honest, outside of the players on the team, the coaches, and the parents and family, not many people care about. It's always one of those games. Have you now bought into the wink-wink concept? Is that what is happening, CC? That you are now understanding the wink-wink concept more than ever before?
Well,
because he ain't betting on the Bengals and Ravens.
No, he's not. He's not. But, I mean, listen, we've got to have a play every single night, every day that we have a show. So, I try to spice it up, change it up a little bit. I don't want to just go straight NBA and then just only on days that we have NFL games go with NFL games. So I got to change it up a little bit. What's wrong with some college football, a little Maction?
I love the Maction idea, but what if when Joe Fortenbaugh joins us tomorrow, he always gives a wink-wink game? What if we give him a nudge-nudge play?
A nudge-nudge game?
Yeah.
Nudge-nudge.
That was our game last night. We had the nudge-nudge game between Miami and Buffalo.
Have you seen our show record, a.k.a. CC's record, on ESPN Bet? Maybe we should be helping you out, what I'm saying.
Maybe. ESPN Bet. Get the app downloaded from your app store today. 21 years of age or older, obviously, and gambling problems, 1-800-GAMBLER for more information. So we do have the suspension for Draymond Green. He gets suspended 5 games. First off, do we think that's enough?
No.
Obviously, Adrian Wojnarowski said there in the opening clips that we had that it was based on past performance or actions.
Yeah.
But you're saying no.
No, it wasn't enough. No, I mean, and that was the surprise, the statement that the NBA made, that they did factor in his history and they came down so light. If you just look at what Dre did on its face, it could have been any player, not named Draymond Green. If you had that action where you come up behind a player, put him in a chokehold, and drag him across half the damn court, I just think that that's inexcusable in the optics of it when the NBA is trying to bring visibility to the in-season tournament is all bad. I get it. No publicity is bad publicity, but at the same time, this ain't what you want. Like, when you're the NBA, like, you stand on a moral high ground, so to speak. When your players have those types of escalations when it comes to disagreements on the court, it's just something that is inexcusable, and the NBA has to take a hard stance on it. So, Smalls, I was floored the fact that it was only 5 games. I thought it should have been more of the 8-to-10-game variety. That's what Tim Legler suggests. That's what our very own Jay Williams suggested. And I agree with them. I thought this should have been more considering what we've seen from Draymond in the past. Hell, what we've seen from Draymond in that playoff series with the Kings and Domantas Sabonis. All of the history of Dre, and then to do that this early in the season with that platform of the in-season tournament, the NBA should have dropped a hammer on Draymond Green.
And I'm surprised they didn't, because usually they like to make a statement in situations like this, especially with a player like this who does have the history that Draymond Green does, guys. But it kind of felt like this punishment is when your parents give you a stern talking to, but you don't get grounded. And I expected Draymond to get grounded, and he didn't.
Yeah, I think part of the league right now is very player-friendly. We know that. Adam Silver looks at his job as commissioner in his office as in partnership with both the governors of the team, the people that own them, as well as the players. And when you're saying, I thought they would go more stern, well, let's use that word. If the late, great David Stern was the commissioner, there's no way that Draymond would only have been...
I see what you did there.
Yeah, but there's no way that he would only been five games.
Right.
But you know what? I keep thinking about something with Draymond. And let me just, full disclosure, I love Draymond as a player. I'd want Draymond on my team every day of the week. A lot of people wouldn't. I would. You're a Lakers fan, he would fit perfectly on the Lakers right now. It'd be a dream in that. That doesn't mean you actually like Draymond.
I think he'd spend more time fighting Anthony Davis than he would the other team.
He'd win that fight,
story.
By the way.
Draymond is like on the all team. You love him if he's your guy.
Correct. Correct. I totally agree with you. But he's also, and again, people get bothered by this, he's going to end up in the Hall of Fame one day.
Oh, no doubt.
He's won four championships. He's won Defensive Player of the Year. But when we are all said and done with Draymond Green, when his career ends as a player, we're going to remember him for more of his antics than his play, correct?
Probably. But you know what I'm going to remember most from this incident? That there were no lies told by Rudy Gobert when he said Draymond Green don't want to play when Steph is out of the lineup.
And now?
There are no lies. No, seriously. Like, first of all, Steph has got the injury. He's going to be out a while. Well, Dre's going to be out a while now, five games with the suspension.
Smart.
Exactly. But here's the thing. I don't remember where I saw this stat, but they actually gave the numbers. So in the games where Steph and Draymond are on the court together, it's 196 games. Dre has been ejected in four of those contests. In games where Steph Curry is off the court, it's been 74 games that Dre has played in without Steph due to injury. Seven ejections from Draymond Green.
That's an awesome stat.
Seven.
That is an awesome stat.
So Rudy Gobert didn't lie when he said that, and we got the numbers to support it, but the more important thing is you got crickets from the NBA world because nobody refuted his statement that he put out there on social media.
Well, I'm sure there are spots where you would say, I'll go there with my wife. If my wife can't go, I'm not going. I'll stay home, right? And that's kind of what Draymond, like, that's your partner.
Yeah.
Draymond's like, I'll play with him. Without him, I don't want to play.
It's like having Tony Romo as your quarterback, and then all of a sudden he gets hurt, and you got to go out there and play defense when Brooks Bollinger is under center.
Why do we have to make Brooks Bollinger that guy? He's my favorite.
Because it actually happened.
He was at Wisconsin.
Because it actually happened.
I know.
The combination of Brooks Bollinger and Brad Johnson against the New York Giants was absolutely terrible. It was awful.
FSU, no? Brad Johnson? Different guy? But, I don't know. I think that that's an amazing – the 7-4 on the game's play with Draymond getting tossed is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But
it's three times as many games,
though. I know. It's crazy. But, you know, we always do the Draymond-Dennis Rodman comparisons on the court. They're very similar in their roles in championship. But – average everyday fan that's younger than us thinks about Dennis Rodman and thinks about, like, the wild, crazy thing. They don't think about 20 rebounds in a game, locking down people. They never remember him that way. And I think Draymond is heading in that direction, where people are not going to remember his great play.
But they remember Rodman for Vegas and for the celebrity that he had, but in concert with the fact that he was a champion. Like, you only remember him for all that other stuff because of what he was on the court.
That is fair. And I hope for Draymond's sake that is how people remember him. But if not, he's done it to himself. I mean, he's the one that put Rudy Gobert in the headlock. He's the one that knocked LeBron in the finals. He's the one that punched Jordan Poole last year. He's done it to himself.
Just out of curiosity, the 6-2 start that Golden State got out to the first couple of weeks of the regular season, is that smoke and mirrors?
No, I don't think so.
You think that's who they're going to be?
Yeah, but you also have to tell me they have a full roster.
Now we're talking about four straight losses and two of those back-to-back games against the T-Wolves. I know the T-Wolves are good. But are we still looking at Golden State as a title contender? I know it's early in the season.
I would.
But here's the problem. Here's the thing that I worry about.
Yeah.
There are a couple of things that I worry about with Golden State that have already become problematic. First of all, there's the chemistry and the Draymond issue. But then there's also the health issue with not only Chris Paul, but Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I don't know that these guys are going to be able to dial it up for a full regular season and position themselves for a two-month stretch where everybody can be healthy and they don't have any self-inflicted wounds from Dre or anybody else chemistry-wise. And it's crazy to talk about that with the Golden State Warriors, but I think considering where we're at right now and what's happened the last couple of days, I think it's warranted.
Well, I think that it's the one of, let's say, two or three teams in the NBA you can do this with. Like, you look at the NFL, we have 32 relevant teams nationally.
Yeah.
Every day, there's something relevant in the NFL. We're going to get to the Browns situation. DTR is now relevant to the masses, right? Like, I don't know. I feel like I've said his name wrong, and I apologize for that, but, like, he's relevant. The NBA, Major League Baseball, we love the sports. There's not always nationally relevant teams. The Warriors are one of them. So if we're going to say, if we're going to spin it negatively about the Warriors, like, hey, maybe they're not. The Draymond situation, the Klay contract also expires at the end of this season. Chris Paul, until he's not traded, you still have to wonder, would they actually trade him? He is an expiring 30
million. You think they could trade him?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
And Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody are young players that a team would want, but really haven't
hit. I'm tired of hearing about them until they actually do something.
And that's
I'm tired of that. People have been talking about them for years. I'm tired of hearing about them until they actually do something.
Yeah.
And they got to do something before we can talk about
right.
them on this show.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I'm just saying the Golden State Warriors, I believe, are contenders. But for those who want to ask the question like CeCe just did, could it kind of fall apart? There's ammo to ask that question.
Yeah, it feels like a house of cards. Now, I'm not saying that they don't have championship DNA, but it becomes a lot harder in the margin for error in the Western Conference, given what we've seen from some of those young and up-and-coming teams like the T-Wolves. I just think it's just going to be exponentially tougher for them to get back and win a championship.
All right, we're going to get into what's going on in Cleveland right now because we know that Deshaun Watson is done for the season. We didn't know who was going to be next, and now we have to ask the question, are they the most cursed franchise around? We will get to that coming up, but first, CeCe has this from Grainger.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by Grainger for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Deshaun Watson will undergo season-ending surgery, expected to be back for the start of next season.
Because of this injury and everything that's happened prior, this will go down as the worst trade in NFL history. That is not hyperbole. That is just fact.
Is this shaping up to be the worst deal we've ever seen? And it could. The flip side of that is that it's still got a minimum of 3 years left.
So it's undetermined at this point. This is a really bad deal, no doubt. But he's still got three more years left.
Christine Lisi, Chris Canty, Mike Greenberg, Joe Fortenbaugh. There we go. Conversation here on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance on Sportsmanlike, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. By the way, a little teaser. I think our buddy Jay Williams is going to join us later.
Hello.
He's got something to say on Draymond. I don't know what it is. Jay reached out. He said, I need to join you guys on Draymond. I said, okay. This is your house, too. Anything you want. This will be very interesting to hear what Jay has to say. He did not give a tease as to what his take was on Draymond, but we will find out coming up here on Unsportsmanlike. So the news of the day by a mile yesterday, obviously Deshaun Watson out of nowhere, done for the season. Okay, so that's a bombshell of a story. Well, then you get an add-on, guys, where the Browns announced that their quarterback was not going to be P.J. Walker. It's Dorian Thompson-Robinson, a fifth-round pick out of UCLA. Now, let's remember one thing about him. He is the player, in many ways, that caused the Browns to think, we don't need Josh Dobbs. Now, there is some playing results here. Nobody knew Josh Dobbs was going to be this year for Arizona and Minnesota. But they clearly believe in this guy a lot. Were you guys surprised that he was named starter? Because I was yesterday.
I was a little bit surprised just because we had seen P.J. Walker so much. But based on everything we've heard from Stefanski and reports coming out of Cleveland, they believe in the growth of DTR throughout the course of the last couple of months, and especially since that last start. And I think context matters here, Ev, because DTR didn't think he was going to start right. in that game against Baltimore a few weeks ago. He just didn't. Like, it was going to be Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun Watson was a scratch. Then it was all this ambiguity around his shoulder and how he was medically cleared, but he didn't feel healthy enough to play. Turns out that Deshaun Watson was actually trying to tough through a significant injury that jeopardized the structure of his throwing shoulder. But
can you explain that just for a second? I don't mean to interrupt, but you said something really interesting. When everybody's sitting there like, what do you mean? How could he not be ready? Explain the difference when you're the intended starter when you versus what he is.
It's simple. Think about it. If you're the intended starter,
right.
and I'm presuming that Deshaun Watson went into that week against the Ravens as the intended starter, he's getting all of the snaps when it comes to the prep work that the first team offense is doing against the scout team defense. He's getting 90% of those snaps. I mean, the backup quarterback's probably getting somewhere in the range of 5 to 10% of those snaps. It's all Deshaun Watson. So in terms of familiarity with the game plan, the timing of the passing game, knowing how they want to try to execute against the defensive scheme, all of that stuff matters when it comes to your preparedness, your readiness when you go out there on Sundays. And DTR had none of it. And this is a young player that's going up against the number one scoring defense in the National Football League. So, yeah, he might struggle a little bit. He might throw a couple of interceptions, and that's what happened. But I would say this, if Stefanski, who is a competent coach, mm-hmm. believes that this guy gives them a better chance than Phillip Walker, then we have to roll with that. Ultimately, what will decide Cleveland's fate is how good their defense is. Here's the thing. I don't think it's a situation where what you get from DTR is going to be markedly different than what you're going to get from Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett ain't great.
Right.
Like Kenny Pickett has been one of the worst quarterbacks in the National Football League from a production standpoint, but that hasn't stood in the way of the Steelers winning games. And I would contend that the Browns defense is better than the Steelers defense. So, again, this is not going to come down to DTR versus Kenny Pickett. You just hope that those two guys avoid the self-inflicting wounds. It's going to come down to which defense can outplay the other one. And to me, I would give the edge to Cleveland based on what I've seen over the last month of football.
I totally agree. They're going to win or lose with their defense, and the defense puts them in a good position to win. But I was surprised that it was DTR and not P.J. Walker, simply because you have more of a sample size on P.J. Walker. As you mentioned, Chris, DTR was forced into that game four. The line wasn't great after the game. He threw three interceptions in that game, but it's not really fair to judge him based off that because he didn't anticipate getting the start. But they've had success at times this season with P.J. Walker. So I just thought, given the fact that this is a really important division game, that they would go with a more known commodity.
What if he's good?
Ooh.
What if he's good? What if they got this right? Right? What if the Cleveland Browns actually, in the fifth round of the draft, found someone? He was the reason, as I said, that they felt they were safe at the backup quarterback position. He now, with preparation, as CeCe said, with a full week, is the guy they have more faith in. What if he's good? Then what happens? Then what happens? We always spin everything negatively, which we'll continue to do with the Browns, right? They have a history of this.
Yeah.
They may be the most cursed franchise in all of sports. Which
a factory of sadness.
Yeah, we want you guys to weigh in on. It's part of the Unsportsmanlike Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. Not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. The ones fans deserve. The Browns are really right there. Who is the most cursed franchise in all of sports? 888-SAY-ESPN. Want your calls on that. What if DTR is good? Then what? Then what, Smalls?
For this season or moving forward with Deshaun?
Yes.
Yeah, because that's where my mind initially goes, is not only just this season, but moving forward. You have so much money and capital invested in Deshaun Watson. You need to make that contract work. But if you have a guy that steps in and is able to help you go on a run or have playoff success, or hold your breath, win you a Super Bowl, you can't go back to Deshaun Watson. You absolutely can't, because of one good half of football that you saw out of him. It would be a real shame. I guess it's first world problems if you have a guy in DTR that steps in and you have success because of him. But I think you got to play the talent and what's happening from a success standpoint and not the contract. That's always the stance that I take. But I think the Cleveland Browns will cross that bridge when they get there.
Yeah, if DTR takes them on a Super Bowl run, it might be one of the most improbable Super Bowl runs we've ever seen. And the locker room is going to want to ride with the guy that got it done when it matters the most. So, yeah, Deshaun Watson, that would be a situation where you would have the most expensive backup in NFL history. But I don't think that's going to be the case. There's clearly a ceiling on this team. Not to say the Browns can't get into the playoffs, because I do believe they're going to make the playoffs, even with DTR as their starting quarterback. But I do think there's a ceiling. They can make life difficult for all of those other AFC teams that fancy themselves as contenders. They could actually win a playoff game. That's how good that defense is. But at some point, you need your quarterback in a playoff game in the postseason to be the difference in a game with a handful of plays, a handful of throws, similarly to what we saw Deshaun Watson do in the second half against the Baltimore Ravens. I just don't think DTR or Phillip Walker have the potential to dial that up, not at this stage in their careers. So, again, ceiling on the Cleveland Browns, but I do expect that this team, even with DTR as their quarterback moving forward, will make the playoffs.
If they make the playoffs and he wins a playoff game, that answers the question, what if he's good? Because then he would have to be good enough to do that. Are they the most cursed franchise in all of sports? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, telephone number to join the show. Rick in Daytona Beach, watching on ESPN2. What's up, Rick?
Hey, man, I'm from Dayton, Ohio, but anyhow, listen, man, that sentence, your statement you just made a little bit ago about the Browns, I've been watching the Browns since 1960, and this is what they do. They just can't get out ahead of anything, and Deshaun Watson is never going to be the quarterback he was. Everybody's got to fact that, don't you think?
Well, it feels like that at this point. I mean, he's played 12 games in 3 years. And, yeah, I mean, Browns fans have to sit back and think they're the most cursed franchise. Because you just heard what he said. Since 1960, I've been watching this team and they've been doing this.
Yeah.
Like, you just always expect something to go wrong. You feel like you're in the moment this year, CeCe, with the Giants. They're not cursed. They're just bad, right? There's a difference, I think, between those two. Jets fans can think they're cursed. 4 plays into Aaron Rodgers' career with the Jets, he unfortunately goes down with what could be a season-ending injury.
It's wild.
I mean, I'm a Mets fan. Everything always goes wrong with that franchise.
That's fair.
But in my lifetime, I have seen a World Series win. I was 6 in 1986, but I have actually seen a World Series win. The Browns, no matter what, I mean, the guy was 14-14 in the second half. And then he's out for the season with no apparent obvious injury in the moment to the part of the body that was hurt. The guy came out to the press conference in a walking boot, and he's out for the season with a shoulder injury.
I know.
Only the Browns.
Coming off a big division win in their house.
Yeah.
And the sad part about it with Cleveland is they have a $64 million cap hit for Deshaun Watson each of the next 3 years.
A.K.A. cursed, CeCe. Mahdi in Virginia, 94.1 in Virginia. What's up, Mahdi?
Hey, what's going on, y'all, man? Good morning.
Morning.
I just called in. Just wanted to say most cursed franchise is the L.A. Chargers. Unfortunately, we're known as the L.A. Chargers now. I think we would have more luck in San Diego. But, yeah, I think we most cursed. They ain't been back since, what, 94?
You know,
I won't even alive, man.
That's an interesting one. Smalls, you always define the Chargers as the king of meh.
Yeah.
Does meh equal cursed?
No, because they're not losing in the things that happen to the Cleveland Browns. You look at them, you're like, that could only happen to the Cleveland Browns. A lot of the times we look at the Chargers and it's a situation of ownership's making. I don't necessarily think it's these confounding situations that feels like the universe is conspiring against you.
What if I told you a starting quarterback got shot up before a game and the doctor missed where they were supposed to go and basically stabbed your quarterback?
Yeah.
Because that happened to the Chargers.
That actually happened.
Tyrod Taylor. Yeah. Now, it led to Justin Herbert, but, I mean, that feels like a Cleveland Browns moment.
Yeah.
Right? That all of a sudden, Deshaun would be out because something a team doctor did. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Dr. Pepper, call in line. The most cursed franchise in all of sports is, you guys fill in the blank. We'll get more of your phone calls in on the Dr. Pepper call in line. It may take a lot to top the Cleveland Browns. Plus, CeCe has made the statement that this is the worst trade in NFL history. What was his competition? What was he thinking about when he said that? Who else competes with this Deshaun Watson trade? We'll find out coming up. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you could save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or progressive.com. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Getting your phone calls in a second here on the most cursed franchises at 888-SAY-ESPN, Dr. Pepper, call online. But CC, you made a statement yesterday. People can go back on the ESPN app, wherever you find podcasts, and listen to our podcast. That was catching waves all over ESPN Radio. I heard a bunch of shows playing it yesterday. And that was the statement that this was, now the Deshaun Watson trade, the worst trade in NFL history. In order to rank it number one, I know you went through in your head the Watson versus, the Watson or. What else is on that list? What other trades would you say competed with the Watson trade in order for you to get to that place?
Okay, so let's look at the Deshaun Watson trade first. First of all, the Cleveland Browns got Deshaun Watson in a 2024 sixth-round pick. The Houston Texans got three first-round picks from 2022 through 2024, a 2023 third-round pick, and two fourth-round picks, one in 2022 and one this upcoming draft. That's what they got. And then they also, the Cleveland Browns, gave Deshaun Watson a $230 million fully guaranteed deal. So, I mean, this guy has played a grand total of 12 games over the last 2 years due to injury and suspension. And you're not sure whether or not this guy is going to be the same player coming back because he's having surgery to avoid structural damage in his throwing shoulder. You just don't know if you're ever going to see the Houston version of Deshaun Watson. And if this guy can't get close to that guy that we saw in Houston, then this is absolutely hands down the worst trade in NFL history. Now, here's the worst trades in NFL history when I'm power ranking them. So I got Deshaun Watson as the worst trade. Second in line is the Herschel Walker deal. You remember the Herschel Walker deal that built the 90s dynasty of the Dallas Cowboys? I think the big centerpiece was Emmitt Smith in that deal that came back as part of one of those draft choices. The third worst trade in NFL history is one that's in recent memory, the Trey Lance trade. The Trey Lance trade with the San Francisco 49ers, forget about the fact that they got back to the conference championship game. That kind of lessens the blow, but that was an awful trade. Three first-round picks, count them, three first-round picks for Trey Lance, a guy that you shipped off after 3 years, was it, for a fourth-round pick. That is all-time bad. The Colts trading Marshall Faulk once upon a time, and then, of course, Ryan Leaf draft day trade that included two first-round picks that the Chargers were able to fork over. And that guy, let's just say he didn't last very long. So those are the worst trades I got, one through five. And then honorable mention, I got the Ricky Williams draft day trade where Mike Ditka gives away pretty much his entire draft.
Not pretty much.
Yeah, for a running back. And then we've got the Bucks trading Steve Young once upon a time to the San Francisco 49ers. Steve Young goes on to be a Hall of Famer. And, I mean, I guess the Bucks have been searching for a franchise quarterback ever since. And the Falcons trading Brett Favre to the Green Bay Packers. So those are the ones that I have as honorable mention. But one through five again, Deshaun Watson trade, Herschel Walker trade, Trey Lance trade, Colts trade Marshall Faulk, and then Ryan Leaf draft day trade. Ev, what you got?
I'm just looking at some of the details of the Herschel Walker trade and what the Cowboys used the picks for.
Yeah.
Emmitt Smith.
Yep.
Russell Maryland.
Yep.
Darren Woodson.
Russell Barron was like number one overall, wasn't he?
Number one overall out of Miami?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was number one. If I'm getting this right, yeah. I mean, that's known as the biggest trade in NFL history and the most like lopsided trade. Here's the craziest thing. Can we put the graphic back up on ESPN2? Sorry, Jerry, I should have asked you for this. For the Deshaun Watson trade. Because I'm going to now ask a question that is so absurd, but I need an answer. The Browns get Deshaun Watson in a 2024 sixth round pick. Are we 100% sure that Deshaun Watson is going to contribute more to the Browns in that 24 sixth round pick, Will?
No.
Have they used that already? Was that pick, was that traded at all? I'm just saying, could a sixth round pick actually equal the value of Deshaun Watson? I can't believe that. I'm asking it thinking this is the dumbest question I've ever asked. But if he doesn't play football, I could get more from a sixth rounder.
Well, let's think about it this way. I mean, didn't they get a fifth rounder for Josh Dobbs? Hasn't Josh Dobbs? I mean, listen, I get Deshaun Watson is 5-1 in his six starts this year. But if you look at what Josh Dobbs did with the Arizona Cardinals and now what he's doing with the Minnesota Vikings,
is that more than
you
Deshaun
can
Watson?
You can make the argument that Josh Dobbs will contribute to his team's winning more games this year than Deshaun Watson will with the Cleveland Browns.
I looked at that trade.
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's what
we're knowingly and understandingly playing the results, but you have to for the sake of this conversation.
No doubt.
And you brought it up yesterday, CC. We can't, in the moment when the Browns traded him, they didn't know he was going to be this, but that's where DTR better be good.
But here's the deal, though. Their calculation wasn't wrong. They were a quarterback away.
Yeah.
They were. Look at their defense. Yeah. They weren't wrong. They had the skill position players. They had the running game. They had the offensive line. The only thing they didn't have was a quarterback. Hell, I would even contend they got the head coach in Kevin Stefanski, who won Coach of the Year once upon a time, who actually won a playoff game with Baker Mayfield. They were just a quarterback away. It's not the wrong decision when you look at their logic, but it ends up, based on the results, being the worst trade in NFL history.
But he hadn't played in so long. At the time, I didn't like the trade at the time, but I looked at
but
that
how
graphic.
Much of that is the personal baggage that he was coming with
it
versus the actual player?
It was certainly both, but with the personal baggage, excuse me, you wonder about the mental side of it too. You wonder about the person and if he's going to be able to step into that role and be the franchise quarterback you hope he's going to be. But when I looked at that deal, just the lopsided nature of it, look at the state of the Houston Texans right now. And that they're going to be able to add to that. What if C.J. Stroud and the Texans go on to win a Super Bowl? That's going to be the Super Bowl champion that the Cleveland Browns built.
Yep,
absolutely right. Because you look at the, and we have it up on ESPN2, three first-round picks from 22, 23, 24, 23 third-round pick, and 2 fourth-round picks in 22 and 24. When we have the final results of all of these, yeah, it feels like the Texans are going to win this deal. And also, remember one other thing.
Of course
thing.
They're going to win the deal.
They've already won the deal.
They already won the deal.
Remember one other thing.
Their rookie quarterback is an MVP frontrunner.
Right, but he wasn't. That wasn't their pick,
you know what?
Though.
No, but I mean, listen, they were trying to choose between Will Anderson Jr. and C.J. Stroud, and guess what? They didn't have to choose
because
they had the extra first-round draft pick. I guess that's the whole point of it. 100%.
100%. And the other thing I'll tell you is, is, they were trading Deshaun Watson off of not playing for them. It's not like they had his most productive year and then traded. He didn't play.
I know.
Right?
That's why I was shocked that he got what he got.
James in Ohio on 100.1 FM on the most cursed franchises that would have to top the Browns, by the way. What's up, James?
So my question goes to, instead of being cursed, are the Browns the most inept franchise in NFL history? I guess my question goes back to, they trade Dobbs. They trade away all these picks and go after Deshaun Watson. And who's to say they don't draft C.J. Stroud and destroy him in the process?
Okay, so a couple of interesting things there. I know fans, like Jets fans, I know all think, well, if we had Trevor Lawrence and not Zach Wilson, we would have destroyed him. It's just the mentality of the fan. I think in years past, we could use the word inept with the Browns. In this specific case, you cannot like Deshaun Watson. But CC just said something really important relative to the word inept. They were a quarterback away. They went out there and got the best available quarterback.
Yeah, but that still doesn't save you. That's like in math class, even when you show your work, you might get partial credit, but if you get the wrong answer, you're not going to get the question right. Mm-hmm. And that's where Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski find themselves at. They're still going to be held to account for this. And how do you think Jimmy and Dee Haslam feel about this? You ask them to take a huge swing. Given where Deshaun Watson was, the questions around his moral character and how much of a stench he was bringing into their organization, for them to go through as much trouble to take all of the slings and arrows for this, to only get 12 games in 2 years, and to not be sure that you're going to have the same quarterback that you traded for on the other side of his shoulder surgery he's about to have, there's no way in hell that those two figures, those two decision makers within the organization can keep their jobs unless the Browns make the playoffs. And that's why, to me, I think this team, this coaching staff, this organization as a whole operates with a degree of urgency to get into the postseason that's a little bit more elevated than everybody else in the AFC.
Yeah, I think you have to win a Super Bowl in order for the trade to be worth it, even if he's not the guy that leads you there. You have to win
No, not just the trade being worth it. But I'm talking about them keeping their jobs.
Oh, like absolutely.
The head coach and the GM, the only way they keep their jobs is if they make the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson being hurt for the rest of the year is not going to absolve them of blame when it comes to this being one of the worst trades in NFL history.
You can certainly point to some things that the Cleveland Browns have done over the year and give them the inept label. But the manner in which things happen to that franchise, you have to feel like they're cursed. Like, it is not like this Deshaun Watson news comes off the heels of him playing poorly, which he did for almost the entirety of the time that he was in Cleveland. It's coming off the heels of a major win versus a Super Bowl contender where he looked like a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
That only happens to a cursed franchise.
That's fair.
Something is energetically wrong in Cleveland. They have got to change the juju there.
So I heard Tony Rizzo, ESPN Cleveland, who was basically the king of Cleveland yesterday, say something. And like, there's so many of these moments you forget. He was ranting about the idea. Do you realize that back in the day when they drafted Johnny Manziel, the reason they picked Manziel was because a homeless guy told the owner that this is the right move? There's just literally that the owner of the team. No, you're looking at me like I'm crazy. Look it up, Smalls.
Well, maybe it isn't up to them.
Yeah, no, but I mean, only the whole. You think Wellington Mara, John Mara, is walking down the street and a homeless guy says, you know, I'd like you to draft Daniel Jones. Well, actually, you may actually think that,
right? Yeah, that's a bad example because they got rabbit ears over there at 1925 Giants Drive. They hear everything.
Now CeCe has a reason.
They hear
the homeless
everything.
Guy, and I'm not ripping on homeless guys.
That's why I'm not on the post game
right,
for the New York Giants anymore.
No, but now CeCe is reporting.
They hear everything.
The homeless guy that told Jimmy Haslam to draft Manziel also told the Giants, I
to
guess.
Draft Daniel Jones?
Per Chris Canty. We're on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance here on ESPN Radio. You know, like Midwest Michelle, CeCe, like nice, sweet, everybody loves her.
Yep.
Should see what I see behind the scenes.
Wow.
No.
She just threw a fit that somebody
gave
her cold coffee.
No.
She outsourced her coffee order to someone else today. It came in cold. Not a happy camper over there.
Wow.
No longer Midwest Michelle. Welcome to New York.
Can I defend myself?
Yes,
please.
Of course.
This is an unfair characterization of what happened.
Character assassination kind of.
Absolutely. Okay. It's almost like you're in cahoots with the coffee person. So
I'm your barista.
Every day, CeCe, we get the coffee. It comes in piping hot. This coffee today is ice cold. It's almost like it's iced, but without ice in it. In the hot coffee cup.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, I feel like this is a personal attack. Maybe the barista is a Cleveland Browns fan and was listening to the show, upset with the situation, and it's a personal attack. That's how I feel.
So when you went there to get the coffee, did you tell them a hot coffee?
Would you like me to get offset and go grab the coffee?
Oh, somebody got it for you.
Do you have to say it's
know.
A hot coffee, though?
Yeah.
I feel like, do you have to say it's a hot coffee, though? I'm just saying, it's one of those things.
You select it. Yeah, when you order it, you select it.
Yeah, but I guess that's my point, though. It's like the only time you are specifying whether it's hot or cold with coffee is when you want an iced coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Which
like, if you say I want coffee, everybody should assume that it's hot, right?
Correct.
But last
so
week.
So why are you getting cold coffee?
Thank you, CC. These are questions that I want answers to.
I'm with you on that one, Spoils.
Yeah,
that doesn't make
I'm
going
to bring up something to change you
it's
to my side by actually bringing up a good example with you.
Okay.
Last week, CC ordered an iced coffee. A hot coffee came. Do you remember this?
I do remember that.
You didn't say anything to anybody.
No. I kept my mouth shut.
I was just curious.
Nuno and Pat heard the attack. Whole thing. Did she not complain a ton about the coffee, Nuno, Pat, Javonte?
It was a little bit over the top complaining about the coffee.
Javonte, you're usually the voice of reason when it comes to stuff like this. I need you to weigh in. What's the verdict?
I don't think she was really complaining. It was more of like I got a hot coffee and it's cold.
Okay. Thank you, Javonte.
Right. I can trust Javonte.
Javonte was there.
Well, now you
can trust Javonte? I don't know, though.
Yeah, what, since when?
I can trust him when it doesn't come to things with me. He
got
always
it.
Wants to stand in judgment with me. He's untrustworthy when it comes to his takes about me.
But everybody
with other,
else.
By other people, then you
yeah,
can
he's
you can
trustworthy.
Buy
so
that's
Midwest
right.
Michelle,
no
Midwest
doubt.
Michelle still alive? We didn't kill her this morning?
Oh, she's
still alive.
Of course.
Okay. Oh, you just went third person. She is. Okay, got it. Bengals and Ravens tonight.
Speaking of things being killed, Bengals, if they lose, playoff hopes is dead.
How dare you?
This is an interesting thing that's developing here, too.
No, it's not developing. It's been here.
You're
it's
anti-Bengals.
It's been here for a while.
Right.
It has been here for a while. I've been sounding the alarm for a while. Now, I did end up putting a dollar in the bad take jar because I left them for dead after they started out 1-3, and they made it interesting by winning, what was it, 4 in a row? That's great. Congratulations. Hand clap for the Bengals. But after that loss on Sunday to the Houston Texans, a game that a lot of people earmarked as a W for the Bengals.
I did.
This is a situation now where they ain't got a lot of margin for error. They don't. Like, in terms of the tiebreakers and of opponents that are going to be in the playoffs, playoff mix down the stretch, the Bengals don't got none of them. They don't have none of them. So they have to have more wins than everybody else that figures to be in the wild card picture. And that's a tall task, given that they have the toughest remaining schedule in the entire league.
Ev, you know what this is? It's a good old-fashioned takeoff. CC said the Bengals were left for dead, so he is digging his heels in, and he wants to be right.
Mm-hmm.
I said that despite the slow start, that I believe in Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, and that they're going to get hot at the right time, be a playoff team, and be the most dangerous team going into the playoffs.
I think the actual quote was, you would trust Joe Burrow with your PIN number.
Oh, with the PIN number, he's the emergency contact. I trust Joe Burrow with everything. But push is going to come to shove here. One of us is going to be right.
There is some background on this now. So Smalls is an NFL fan free agent.
Yeah.
Her Rams, when she was in St. Louis, left her town. She's looking for a team. So yesterday, I was on the phone with DJ Hodge, who runs ESPN Radio in Cincinnati, 1530. You went on with Mo Egger yesterday.
I did.
At 1530 a.m. in Cincinnati. And Tony Pike from the same station coming on with us later. They're recruiting you.
Big time.
As CC is pushing the Bengals down, say, you better win tonight or you are donezo.
Donezo.
They want you to be a fan of the Bengals.
They do. Big time.
So what are we doing here? Are you now a Bengals fan?
So I have to be honest with you guys. I'm a little nervous. I'm working with trepidation here because I've had my heart broken before.
Mm.
And not that I think the Bengals are going to leave Cincinnati. It's not going to be anything that severe. But if I'm going to give my heart to a team, if I'm really going to trust again, they can't let me down. And if I'm sitting here on national television, national radio, streaming, on any platform you can find us, saying that I trust Joe Burrow with my PIN number, with my medical records, with my future
medical
children,
records.
That he can babysit them, he's got to deliver. They've got to deliver. And tonight's a great place to start.
Okay, so let's understand something. Are you a Bengals fan with a win tonight?
It's trending that way.
Can I say this? The Bengals.
CC trying to talk
the
you
Bengals
out of this.
Have a 13-game losing streak in road primetime games.
You know what that tells me? They're due.
They're due? Okay. All right. Okay.
Now the flip side of
all
this.
Right.
So wait, yes or no? Bengals, how about this? For the rest of the season? Can we have free agency in the offseason? Or is it for good?
No, she's got to be for good. If she's going to be 10 toes down with Joe Burrow and the Bengals, she can't go switching gears in the spring.
Yeah, you don't want people like that.
No.
No, we don't no want fair, any
no
more
fair,
front
No fair weather fans. We got no enough fair weather runners. Fans.
Where's Belichick going to be next
this
year?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
That's right. And I'm a loyal girl. If I commit, I commit.
So you're going to be down solid with Joe Shiesty. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm going to show up with Cartier glasses on the set.
There you go.
But I just don't know if right now is the time to make a firm pick.
Oh, God, you're copping out on
no,
this.
No, no, no. I believe in them, and I'm going to pick them to win the game.
No,
tonight,
I don't sound like you're saying
analytics.
It with your chest, though, Smalls. You're saying, I believe in them, but I don't
no,
know.
No, I believe in
I don't
them.
Know if I'm going to be a full-fledged fan of the Bengals.
But just because we're dating and I'm committed to you does not mean we're engaged and we're going down the aisle to get married. Yeah, there's levels to this.
So y'all ain't going steady is what you're saying.
You just made yourself
sound
100.
We're dating. We're talking.
We're talking.
We're talking. Talking. We're talking.
Ah, got it. Okay. All right.
We're talking.
Now, the flip
so
side
he's
is,
not going to brunch with Andy right now.
Not yet.
Y'all not going to brunch. Okay.
Oh, no, one brunch, just not two in a row.
Okay.
Just somebody else coming next
no,
week.
No, but Andy got and the girls know.
The Texans are showing up next week and the Bengals this week.
CJ Stroud looks great.
The flip side of this. Is the division over if the Ravens win tonight? He's also a good football player.
Oh, my God, Evan.
Is it over if the Ravens win tonight?
No. The division's not over, no.
Okay.
No, because, I mean, right now, going into week 11, you're talking about them having a half-game lead over the Steelers and the Browns.
Right.
So those two teams are going to have something to say about it. I don't think that's going to change. And the Ravens have a tough schedule in their own right down the stretch. So, no, the division is absolutely not over if the Ravens get a win tonight. The only thing that happens is that the Bengals' playoff hopes are dead and buried if they lose.
And then Smalls runs away from them.
No.
Runs right to the Texans or maybe another team potentially at that point. Maybe, possibly. Coming up, who's the biggest problem in Buffalo? Josh Allen spoke yesterday. We'll hear it next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.